Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church, God's host, the house he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. If you reviewed the bulletin this morning, you should know that the sermon title is You Cannot Walk with God and Hold Hands with the Devil. Some of you have said that's a catchy title, and some of you have chuckled at it and laughed at it. And I agree, it is catchy and it may sound humorous. But I tell you that many people, including some in this congregation, are attempting to do that just today. To walk with God and hold hands with the devil. Our text this morning comes from Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Please turn in your Bibles and follow along as I read. Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. Like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. There are millions of people in the world today who claim to be Christian. Yet if we examine closely their lives, many of their lives indicate they are no different from those who do not claim to be Christians. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and what they are attempting to do is impossible because you cannot walk with God and hold hands with the devil. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, and Luke 16, 13, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus spoke these words nearly 2,000 years ago, yet there are people today who are trying to serve God and other masters in their life. Well, how did Lot end up in the midst of the wicked and perverse city of Sodom? Had it Lot, who had been raised to love God and follow his teaching, and who had a godly uncle like Abraham, end up in such terrible condition as we find in Genesis chapter 19? Well, if we look at the situation closely, the first mistake that Lot made was he looked towards Sodom. Look at verse 10 again. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt near Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. As you recall, Lot and Abraham left Egypt together. And they traveled to a place that was between Bethel and Ai. And their herdsmen began quarreling. Now, although God had promised Abraham that he could possess all of the land, he, being Abraham, did not wish for him and Lot, nor their herdsmen, to be quarreling. So he suggested that they part company and divide the land. And this is the very first hint of the underlying principles and characters of these two men, Lot and Abraham. Abraham, to whom all the land had been given, was not going to embarrass himself and God by fighting Lot in front of these heathens among whom they were living. He wanted to honor God, and he was determined not to embarrass him in front of these people. So whatever loss he might suffer, Abraham would not fight with Lot. So he unselfishly gave up his claim to the land and told Lot to make his choice. Now, Lot should have been moved by the gratitude of Abraham. He should have shown reverence. He should have shown respect for his uncle. He should have refused the first choice. He should have asked God what choice he should make. Yet there is no evidence whatsoever that Lot had a thought about God when he made the choice. Instead, in one self-seeking impulse, he made a decision absolutely fatal to himself and the rest of his family. The first mistake was Lot lost sight of what God wanted him to do and what God wanted for him. He began to look at the wealth of the world. Lot saw this well-watered plain of the Jordan River. It was beautiful. It was as the Garden of Eden, God's word tells us. It had grass and water aplenty for all of his herds. Lot looked at the nearby cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and saw a bustling marketplace in each. So he decided this was the land he desired. So Lot chose the well-watered plain of the Jordan. He chose the world. He allowed worldly consideration alone to influence his decision. His choice would provide him with the water and the grass, and would provide him with unique business opportunities. He would be able to turn a big profit by selecting this piece of land. Oh, of course, there was abundant sin in the neighborhood, but Lot dared not allow God and business to mix. We know they should never mix, so he made the decision. He looked towards Sodom. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of Christians are traveling that same path today. They are being swallowed up in a whirlwind of worldliness. They do not consult God when making decisions. And I believe that our every decision should be made by consulting God, whether it's a spiritual decision, a personal decision, a business decision, a political decision. We need to ask, is this the decision that God wants me to make? When we're getting a new job, moving to a new location, searching for a church, looking for a mate, we need to ask God for guidance. And Lot's decision was based upon his own desire. So the first mistake Lot made was even looking towards Sodom and not towards God. And the second mistake Lot made was he longed for Sodom. If you look at verse 12, we read, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. First, Lot looks towards Sodom. And then in this verse, we learn that Lot pitches his tents towards Sodom, near Sodom. Perhaps he thought that although he and his family would be living in the vicinity of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they would not participate in the sins of these cities. What harm could result from living nearby? They would merely set up housekeeping near Sodom because it was a well-watered plain. And he needed grass and water for his herds. He needed to make a profit in order to continue to possess his wealth. So Sodom decided that he and his family would live near. So Lot decided that he and his family would live near Sodom. They would not live, they would live close to the sin, but they would be able to withstand the temptation. But soon, way too soon, the temptation became so great that Lot began to desire what Sodom offered. How many times have you, or how many times have you seen your loved ones or friends justify their compromise by doing as Lot did? I've done it. We convince ourselves that something, that nothing is really wrong with giving priority to sports or to traveling or to a career or to a vacation home or to recreation or to watching television over serving God, witnessing for Him and advancing His kingdom. We begin to live as close to the world as possible. James 4:4 states, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." What? You say, well, you would never give in to the temptation of sin just because you live nearby. You would never deny Jesus. You would never lie, steal, murder. Well, if you live close enough to the world, you will be surprised what will happen. And many of you know what, in fact, does happen. Do you not think Lot probably stated that he would never live in Sodom and would never succumb to the wickedness as existed in that city? How many Christians swear they will never commit such and such an act, never commit such and such a sin against God, and yet they began living so close to the edge of Sodom, so close to the world, that very soon they are over the very edge that they swore they would never cross. Rivers and men become crooked by following the path of least resistance. What is the easiest for us, and not what is best for serving God? People don't decide that they're going to be drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, murderers, or thieves, but they pitch their tents towards Sodom, and soon the powers of evil overcome them. Albert Einstein said, "I do not fear the explosive power of the atom bomb. What I fear is the explosive power of evil in the human heart." Friends, if we do not remove the love of the world from our hearts, such love will one day destroy us. We've learned that Lot looked towards Sodom. We've learned that he longed for Sodom. And now, I want you to notice that Lot lived in Sodom. Lot craved the offerings of the world more than he was willing to trust God to provide for his needs. And such cravings resulted in Lot living in one of the most wicked and sinful cities in the history of the world. Well, what was this appeal to Lot? What drew him to this city of iniquity? First, there was the appeal, I believe, of easy living. The land was well watered like Egypt. The physical attractiveness and productiveness of the land appeals to Lot's desire for a good living without the back-breaking labor. There was the appeal of independence. Living in Sodom separated Lot from Abraham. After living in Abraham's shadows for a number of years, here was an opportunity for Lot to show he was his own man, to launch his own enterprise, to make his own way. Can't you just see Lot convincing himself of these facts? And unfortunately, third, Sodom provided a lurid appeal in its sensual wickedness, which was perversely attractive, dangerous, and challenging at the same time. This appeal to Lot by Sodom made him blind to the cost of sin. When we believe anything outside of the Lord can satisfy some desire in us, we become blind to what the cost will be, to what the momentary pleasure will cost us in the long run. The devil knows how to whisper in our ear and convince us that we need this or that, although it's to our detriment and against God. The appeal of Sodom to Lot soon led to action by him. He would gradually began to reset his life's compass. The devil had already turned Lot's eyes to the appeal of the land full of wicked people. And at this point, Lot made a decision to reset his compass and to take a different path. Rather than setting his compass to true north and following the way of the Lord, Lot began a lengthy, gradual process of redirecting his life towards sin. Thus, Lot intentionally changed directions in his life. And once the direction had been determined, taking the steps in those directions followed immediately. Lot's willful choice, followed by decisive action against God's wisdom. The appeal of the sinful city of Sodom led him to take action, knowing or at least suspecting that such action would not line up with what God wanted for him and his uncle Abraham. Rather than concentrate on what would please the Lord, Lot, like most of us, took action without any consideration for, and in fact, with complete disregard for what God wanted him to do, for the path that God wanted him to take. And no doubt, when Lot first moved to Sodom, the sin there must have grieved him. He may even try to convince himself that the reason he moved into Sodom was to evangelize the city. He and his family would be shining examples of believers in God, and these people would say, "Hallelujah, praise be to God," and turn from their wicked ways. But as time passes, we see that Sodom does not change. Lot begins to change. It changed his family, which ended up destroying his family. Lot's choice to be in Sodom and be a part of the community resulted in dire and irreversible ramifications for his family. He lost his wife. She turned to a pillar of salt. He lost his two married daughters and his sons-in-law because they would not leave Sodom with him. And he lost the respect of his two unmarried daughters who did leave, but as we know, they later had incestual relationships with Lot and produced two children from that ungodly union. This is the price he paid for living too close to the world. He lost all his wealth. He lost all of his family. Most of his family, and he lost his peace of mind. He lost the spiritual heritage and the witness for God that he could have had in his life. Lot's compromising all through his life left him without anything in the end. What a sad, sad story. Lot lost everything because of his compromising and because of embracing sin. You cannot walk with God and hold hands with the devil. That is a true statement, friends, no matter who says it. Not just because I say it, but you read God's word, you study God's word, and you find out you cannot have it both ways. As I said, Jesus said on two occasions, you cannot serve two masters. And Lot tried to do that. You know, and the devil loves it when we make little small incremental movements towards sin. He doesn't expect us to just do a 180, to walk over here and tomorrow just give up everything we've learned about God and just be a wicked, sinful person. He doesn't expect that. He knows human nature. But what he wants us to do is to compromise here, rationalize there, justify here, change our priorities a little bit, change them a little bit more next year. We need to be aware that that's the devil's plan. And pretty soon we're living in Sodom instead of in Canaan. And we wonder, how did we get into the city? We only were just going to pitch our tents towards there, near the world. And then we got sucked into the world. So I ask you this morning, in which direction is your tent pitched? Is it towards Bethel, God's house, or is it towards Sodom, which is of the world? That decision is, or that answer is one that you know, and if you need to make a decision to change that so that you pitch your tents toward God's house, then we invite you to come as we sing our invitation hymn. Come and confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Come and say, I need your strength, Lord, to fight the devil. I need your strength to not rationalize. I need your strength to not prioritize things of this world above you.